I think we need a new clip on our microphone. Well, I was having a lot of fun watching the kids, but I turned around. I was having a lot of fun watching you. You got all these parents with big smiles on their faces, you know. You just light up when those little kids start singing. I love them when they're that age. Turn to Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these children and the week they've had and the word of God they've learned and the songs they've sung. We love our children. And we thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you will touch our hearts with your word this day and have your way. I pray you'll change some lives. I pray you'll give some more confidence and faith. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a lot of different ideas about inspiration. Some people believe the Bible is inspired like Shakespeare was inspired to write Macbeth or some other author is inspired to write a book. There are others that say the Bible is inspired and it's inspired, the thought is inspired. The words don't count. Just the thought is what's inspired. And so that you can take that thought and put it in any different words you want to and it'll all be the same. There are others that believe the Bible is inspired, word by word, inspired, as originally given. But that now what we have is not trustworthy because it's not the original. And then there's some that believe that God has preserved His Word, verbally inspired, all the way down to us today. That's where I stand. Now, I want to do something to help your confidence in the Word of God, if I can. I want to take and look and see what the Bible says itself about its own inspiration. I came to know Christ as my Savior, and then I went to college and studied a whole lot about manuscript evidence and many of the critics and whatever. And I finally came to the place that I believe the Bible that we have in our hands is the Word of God. Now, believing that means I read it a whole lot and I studied a lot. In fact, I studied about this particular subject. The Word of God, inspired by God, preserved unto us, even unto this generation. And as I studied the Bible, I found that there's a lot in the Scripture about the Scripture itself. So if you believe the Bible, then some of these verses ought to be important to you because they give you confidence on what you hold in your hands. Amen. Take this verse, 138:2. He said, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." I have a teaching and a sermon on the name of Jesus. I'm going to preach it one of these days again. Amen. How great is the name of God. Amen. We get saved by the name of God. We get answers to prayer in the name of God. We glorify God in His name. His name is absolutely wonderful with tremendous characteristics. But did you see what this verse said? Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. How important is the word of God? And to discredit it or not believe it or just ignore it and not read it, making a very big mistake. God has magnified His word. In fact, He swore by Himself. You know, you generally swear by something bigger. My mother's grave, by God, by a lot of things. Well, when God swore, He swore by Himself because there was nothing greater. Amen. Now, go to the book of Hebrews, and I'll let you follow me along on some of these verses, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read the first three verses here. Look at it from the point of view of the Word of God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sit down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. May have been a long time since you've been in an English class and studied any grammar or not, but you know what the subject of that sentence is? God. You want to know what the verb is? Spake. You talk about a great revelation God has spoken. And if God has spoken, you ought to want to know what He has to say. If God speaks, certainly we ought to pay attention. Because God is the one that created us all. In fact, He made us. And by the way, if you're here today, it's because God's given you another day of life. Every day of life. Life is a gift of God. The scientists don't understand life. They don't understand mind or soul. Oh yeah, they can pick on the brain, but it doesn't answer all the questions. They can look at a man's heart. It doesn't answer all the questions. I'm 73 years old and I'm still going. I know people 40 and 45 and 50 that died with a perfectly good heart. Their brain was working fine. Something else happened. You ought to thank God every day that you get up that God gave you another day of life. Amen. Because it's in His hand. But did you notice it said God spake in times past at one time or another time by a prophet or by Himself, by dream, or by direct His word? He spoke in different times by the prophets, but He hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. Amen. Jesus is the express image of God. He's God in the flesh. You want to know how God thinks? Look at what Jesus thought. You want to know what God teaches? Look at what Jesus taught. You want to understand God? You have to take a look at Jesus. And your only authority for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how many books have been written, is this book right here. It's the Word of God. Amen. You don't have anything anywhere else. Amen. So God spake in divers, sundry times, divers manners to the fathers by the prophets. He's spoken again in these last days by His Son. Amen. The greatest revelation of God is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And God spoke to us by His Son. Amen. Now, another verse, go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. How is the Word of God inspired? What does the Bible teach us about the inspiration of the Word? Peter is speaking, and in verse 16 he says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." It's an interesting verse. My, you can learn some doctrine if you study this verse a little bit. Do you know what Peter believed? Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, he gets up and preaches and 3,000 people get saved. Do you know what Peter believed? Peter believed in the verbal inspiration of David. Amen. You know what he did? How's he getting that? He goes back and reads one of David's Psalms that's been copied over and over and over and over for 1,000 years. 3,000 now. And Peter said, when David wrote this Psalm, when David sang this Psalm, spoke this Psalm, it was actually the Holy Ghost using his mouth. That's what I call verbal inspiration, and that's what I believe. That's right. I believe not only the thoughts are important, I believe every word is important. And I think you need to be very careful when you start changing and substituting words in the Bible. Because Peter believed in the verbal inspiration of David, the king and prophet. That's interesting. Well, let's look at another one. Look at the last chapter of the book of Acts. Chapter 28, verse 25. Now, this is Paul speaking. And Paul is saying, verse 25, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Isn't that amazing how clear that is? How doctrinal that is? He didn't say Isaiah said. We say Isaiah said. We say Jeremiah said. We say Paul said. Paul said the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, spake by Isaiah. So here's Isaiah, which a lot of the critics want to claim there's four Isaiahs and they all lived at different times. Well, that's not exactly the way Paul believed it. Paul believed in the inspiration of the book of Isaiah so much so that he quotes Isaiah. And when he quotes that word that had been copied for at least 700 years before he ever got it. And he said, it's the Holy Ghost speaking by the mouth of Isaiah. That's verbal inspiration. So Peter believed in the verbal inspiration of David in the Scripture. Paul believed in the verbal inspiration of Isaiah in the Scripture. Now look at another verse. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 2:13. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Here's Paul speaking again. This is Paul. He wrote the book of Corinthians. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I want you to know something else about Paul. Paul believed in the verbal inspiration of Paul. Paul believed in the verbal inspiration of Peter and the rest of them that wrote in this book right here. But he's claiming, I have been taught these words by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And therefore the words that come out are God's words, not just man's words. That's what the Bible thinks of itself. Let's go a little step further. Look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2:13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:13. Paul again writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he's talking about them. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If you claim to believe the Bible, then you better get a little more respect for it. It's God's Word. That means that the early church, the church in Thessalonica and the other early churches, believed what Peter and James and Paul and Luke wrote was the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit in the very words that they chose. Though we have different personalities and different vocabularies and different times, God spoke the words. He used the mouth of somebody like that. Now there's another scripture I'd like to show you. It's in 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, we saw an example of that this morning. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. Now, boy, that's a tremendous statement. All Scripture, the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, history, prophets, Psalms, biographies, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's inspired by God and it is profitable. Amen. That's right. Amen. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. That's right. In righteousness. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does the Bible say about itself? It claims to be the Word of the living God.
Amen.
Now notice what he tells preachers. Chapter 4 right there, verses 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word.
Amen.
Preach the Word.
Amen.
If you can find the Word of God, your job is to preach it. If you can believe the Word of God, it's your job to preach it.
That's right.
It's not your job to preach on all the social holidays.
That's right.
It is not your job to be politically correct.
Right.
It is your job to preach the Word of the living God.
Amen.
That's what God calls you to do. That's what He commands you to do.
That's right.
Now look back in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. Here's Jesus. Here's what he has to say. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
The only way for you to be able to preach every word or live by every word is you have to have it.
Amen.
You have to have it. If you don't have it, you certainly could not preach it. You don't have it, you don't really have anything to trust in. Here's Jesus saying, man shall not live by bread alone. And, of course, I know we need our bread, and we want our bread, and I get a lot of it. But we need the Word of God also.
Amen.
So, what he's saying here is, but by the every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. These are God's words, not mine. This is what God's Word says about His own Word. You need to have every word of it. Then look at Matthew again at chapter 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, there are a lot of people that think, well, there might have been the Word of God way back yonder, but it's gone. Well, no, my friend, according to the Word of God here, it's not gone. You may not know where it is. You may not believe which it is, but it's here. And it's your job to try to find it.
That's right.
You ought to spend some time reading the Word of God. It'd be better time than television. It'd be a better time than all the novels you've got. It'd be better time than all sorts of things you could put your hand to.
Amen.
I got saved and I began to read the Word of God. I didn't understand it too well the first time or two I read it. You got this great big ark over there in Genesis that carries all these animals. And then you see the Jews carrying it over there in Exodus and Numbers. There are two arks.
Yes, right.
If you don't know what, if you don't read it around, you're going to get confused. There's lots of other things confused. People understand one verse, one place, and don't spend enough time in the Word to get it straight. It's the Word of the living God. It's worth your time. It's going to give you instruction as to what God says. You can judge every religion in the world, every one of them, by this book. You can be the judge. Because you have the Word of the living God. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That means they're here right now. If this book is true, His Word is here right now. Well, look over in the book of Revelation chapter 3. Book of Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 8. This is the Philadelphia church. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name.
Amen.
What did God say about the church in Philadelphia, or even that time period of the church in Philadelphia? They had the Word of God.
That's
right. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
I have confidence not only that God gave the Word and inspired the Word, but I believe He preserved the Word.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe we have it, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the book I have in my hand. God preserved His Word, and He proves it by what He does with His Word.
Yes.
The Word of God that's brought more revival, more souls saved, is the old King James. You say, I can't understand the King James. Ridiculous. If you don't want to learn the meaning of 100 words, you don't want to study anything anyway. You're not interested. But I tell you what, everywhere this book has gone, revival went with it. Souls got saved and churches were started. Lives were changed. Governments were upset. The greatest bringer of freedom in the world has been the King James Bible. I believe it to be the Word of God.
Amen.
And believing it that way, I have confidence in it. You know, I'm really a very skeptical person. I don't know whether you know that or not. I don't believe my president. I don't believe my governor. I don't even believe my mayor. I don't believe in Sears Roebuck's guarantee. I don't believe in Walmart's. I don't believe in Michelin's guarantee. When I get a guarantee and somebody pays off on that guarantee, I am pleasantly surprised. Makes me very happy that they lived up to their word. When they don't live up to their word, I am not surprised. I've already believed they weren't going to live up to it when I paid for it. Because I'm a skeptic. You know one thing I believe? I believe in God.
Amen.
I believe this book is the Word of God. I believe it's worth your time to know. You ought to know this book front and back because of the influence that it has and has had and can have upon you today.
Right.
He said they had it. I believe what they had is what we have.
Amen.
Now there's another verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. There are a lot of people getting, churches getting bigger and people being brought in by all sorts of methodologies. Very pleasing ways to do. I personally believe the only way anybody should be influenced is by the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
You ought to check out what that preacher believes in before you ever go to that church.
That's right.
You ought to know what he has to say about the Word of God before you listen to anything he has to say otherwise.
Yes.
Because if he is not a real believer in the Word of God, he's going to lead you astray.
That's right.
Just as simple as can be. So look at Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit. The Spirit has a sword.
Yes.
And he slays people with that sword.
Yeah, that's right.
He brings them down. He hits them in the heart. When I was convicted of my sins, there was a church about 500 in attendance. I'm sitting way back at the back, about far back as I could get. That preacher didn't know me from Adam, but I thought he'd been talking to my wife. I mean, the things he was saying, they got inside of me. I went home and I could not sleep. I'm thinking over all these things. What was it? The Holy Spirit of God took His sword, His word, and touched my heart.
Right.
You know something happened that day that changed me 52 years ago?
Yes.
Going to be 53 this coming August 1st. Yes, sir. If you want to be used of God, you're going to have to use this word.
That's right. Amen.
You are not the sword of the Holy Spirit. Your jokes are not the sword of the Holy Spirit. Your stories are not the sword of the Holy Spirit. He tells you very plainly, the Word of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit. And you don't have a right to choose which one you want either. It's the Holy Spirit's sword. It's not yours. If you preach the Word, the Holy Spirit will go with the Word and it'll do what God wants it to do. It's not the preacher anyway. It's not the witness anyway. It's God's Spirit using a witness or using a preacher.
That's right, amen.
And He used the Word of God. If you preach the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit will be pleased and He will use it.
That's right, amen.
Look at Acts chapter 16. This is the most important question you'll ever ask or answer. Verse 30, Acts 16:30. Talking about down in the Philippian jail. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. Life is a gift from God. Amen. Every day of your life is a gift from God. You may live 10 years. You might live 2 months. You might live 2 days. You might live 70 years or 100 years. Nobody knows. There's not a doctor that can tell you. There's not a prophet that can tell you. Every day of life is a gift of God. If you're alive today, you ought to be thanking God that He gave you this day to live. Life is not explainable. Life is not understandable. There's nobody can tell you what life is or what makes it up or why. God's just bigger than all of our scientists. God's just bigger than all our philosophers. And God's just bigger than all our preachers. God's bigger than your mind. You don't understand God, you never will. What little He teaches you, praise God, take it.
Amen.
What must I do to be saved? That's your need. You don't really need a lot more money. What you need to do is be saved. You really don't need health for that much longer. What you need to do is be saved. Doesn't matter when you die, if you die saved. If you die lost, you lose it all. What must I do to be saved? Ought to be the question you ask yourself and say, what do I need to do to be saved?
Amen.
What a tremendous question. And you've got to answer it. And the Bible says that the many miss it. The great many go the broad way that leads to destruction. And He said, few find the way of life. Do you understand what the way is? It's Jesus Christ. In fact, He says so in John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. That's Jesus. Well, look what Paul answered him here. He brought them out and said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
and thou shalt be saved. Amen. There's not a person in this room, in this town, in this world that is good enough to be saved by their works.
Right.
There is not a religion in the world, this one or any other, that is good enough to save your soul.
Right.
Not a one.
Amen.
There is only one way to be saved. It's a very exclusive club you're going into.
Right.
It's the body of Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and paid your debt to God. You don't have to receive it. You don't have to believe it or accept it. But if you don't, there is no other way for you to ever walk up in the presence of God. You walk up in front of God in your own pride and in your own sin, and you won't last a second. Poof, you're going to be gone. You have no right. There's not a person in here has a right to go into the presence of God. He's holy and we're sinful. He's holy, righteous, and we're selfish. You don't have a right to stand before God. When you bow down and pray, you don't have a right to say, God, I've done this and done that, now you owe me. God doesn't owe you anything. If God decides to have mercy on you, praise the Lord. If He doesn't have mercy on you, you're lost anyway. But the great mercy of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a gospel for sinners. You need to be a sinner to call upon the Lord. If you're so righteous, you won't call upon the Lord and you won't get saved. There are going to be some mighty good people that don't get saved along with a bunch of bad people that don't get saved. But everybody that gets saved is a sinner.
Amen.
Everybody that gets saved has fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody that gets saved felt just like some of you feel right now.
That's right.
And then when they called upon the Lord and the Lord forgave their sins and saved their soul and changed their life by His mercy, by His righteousness, by His substitution. He paid your debt. You have the opportunity today to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may not have tomorrow.
That's right.
None of us may have tomorrow. Have you seen all the disasters in all the news? Disaster, 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 disaster. So many people dead. So many people lost their houses. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right.
You say, well, we don't get hurricanes. We don't get tornadoes. We don't get earthquakes. No. Well, don't be bragging on it. God might hear you. And all of a sudden, San Antonio might be an earthquake and tornado area.
That's right.
You could be saved before you walk out this door.
Amen.
If God has spoken to your heart and you know I need to be saved, that's God, the Holy Spirit, taking the sword of the Spirit and touching your heart.
Amen.
You need to do something about it. If God speaks to you, that's when you can be saved. You can't just come to God anytime you want to.
That's right.
What if He decides not to touch you ever again?
Right.
And He does that.
Yeah.
The Bible says He departed from.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to turn Him down too many times. He might depart.
Yes.
He might say, okay, this is your choice. Another way, it just might be that today is your opportunity to get saved, and you say, no, thank you. I want to sow a little more wild oats. When I get old, I'll get saved then. Well, you might walk out of here and hit an 18-wheeler.
Right.
I've seen that happen.
Yes.
You need to be saved, and Jesus is the only one that can save you.
Amen.
And the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the invitation to have your sins forgiven, your soul saved, and your life changed, and your eternity secured, is here for you today. Let's stand and sing number 249.